Mr. Resnick?
May it please the court. The primary claim of the petitioner, Mr. Gerard, is that the immigration judge erred by applying an incorrect legal standard in deciding to deny him adjustment of status. Congress demonstrated its intent that this court have jurisdiction to decide such a claim when it enacted the Real ID Act of 2005, modifying the existing jurisdictional bar to allow for review of constitutional claims and questions of law. In two recent cases, Morales and Hashish, cited in our reply brief, this court held that this amendment provided jurisdiction to determine whether an IJ or the Board of Immigration Appeals applied the right legal standards in making discretionary decisions. Matter of Arai constitutes binding precedent providing the legal standard governing the exercise of discretion to grant adjustment of status. The arguments contained in the Attorney General's brief would reduce Matter of Arai to nothing more than a mere set of guidelines without any real substance or enforceability. The Attorney General's contention is contravened by the Supreme Court's decision in Elkins versus Moreno, which held that the standard set forth in Arai constitutes binding legal precedent.
You talk about the issue of whether your client understood the voluntary departure order. That's your better argument.
Judge, the what happened in the court is that the IJ interrupted the question and said he understood it because I read it to him.
Is there any record of that earlier proceeding? Transcript or tape recording or?
I'd have to check the record, Judge. I believe there may be, but I'm not sure right at this point.
Is that their procedure, to tape it?
It should have been taped. Sometimes in these voluntary departures, there is not, and I think I can get the record here. No, Judge, it appears that the record does not contain that. It starts the first hearing.
And how long ago, what was the time period between the two hearings?
1991 and 2002.
So the judge is recollecting something that happened 11 years earlier?
Yes, Judge.
Very good.
And we argued in our brief that it must be just mere conjecture, given the number of cases that the judge handles and the number of cases that are heard by these immigration judges, that he would have remembered it.
Did you ask to have any transcript of the 1991 proceeding put in this record?
We asked for the transcript to prepare the appeal, and we did not. And in normal practice, it would have been the complete transcripts would have been provided.
Of the 2002 hearing. My question was whether you asked for a transcript to be made of the 1991 hearing and put in this record.
In the normal course, it's the...
No, I'm not asking about the normal course. I'm just asking whether you asked for something to be done.
No, I did not.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, is what you're saying that when you asked for the record, you would have expected to get whatever they had? Is that what you're saying?
When
on
the
him,
records
or what?
When the record's prepared, normally it consists of all the hearings held in a particular case.
Right, not just the current one.
Right.
But you didn't ask about it when you didn't receive it?
No, I did not, Judge.
Did you by any chance file a motion to supplement the record in this court?
No, I did not, Judge. It is Mr. Gerard's position that the Arai standard is both substantive and enforceable. Where an IJ or the BIA fails to comply with the legal standard set forth in Arai, a decision to deny adjustment should be reversed and the case remanded for a decision in compliance with the Arai standard. The immigration judge here violated the Arise standards in several specific ways. First, the IJ considered as an adverse factor Mr. Gerard's overstay.
Look, I don't find your Arise argument all persuasive. But on this point about the judge sort of testified just his recollection 11 years earlier, what is it that what should we do in a case like that, right? What should we do in order to test the question whether Jared was given, adequate notice of voluntary departure, right? So in criminal case, we have these plea colloquies. There's a record, and the judge is supposed to say, "Do you understand? Do you understand what voluntary departure means? And if you don't voluntarily depart, you can't ever come back. Something of that sort. Assuming that this tape recording of that early hearing has vanished, what would we do?
Well, I would remand it for a new hearing at which the judge's conjecture would not be considered. If there's no record, there would be no record to consider as to what occurred in informing my client of what was occurring at that hearing, which occurred just a few days after he entered the United States.
And his English has improved. Do we know anything about what his English language ability was back in 1991?
Well, at the hearing itself, his English in 2004, the record is pretty clear that he had difficulty in English. He did testify in English. In terms of any evidence in the record as to what his English was at the time he entered the United States and the hearing was held, I don't have that information.
So we don't know whether there was a translator at that 1991 hearing?
I believe the record does not contain that information.
Okay. You want to save the rest of your time? Or?
Yes, Judge.
Thank you. Mr. Mack?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Greg Mack, counsel for the Attorney General of the United States. This case is about how the immigration judge exercised his discretion.
Do you have any information about the record of that 1991 hearing?
It's not part of the record in this case, Your Honor, and typically what happens in immigration cases when there isn't an appeal from the immigration judge's decision to the board, there is no transcript made because there's nothing.
Recording. Yeah.
There is a tape recording made of all hearings before an immigration judge.
So where's that tape?
It may exist with the Immigration Office of Executive Office of Immigration Review, but when there's no appeal from the immigration judge's order, there's nothing, of course, for the board to review.
Wasn't it apparent here that a major issue is what the immigration judge said to Jared 11 years ago, or 11 years now, it's now 15 years ago, about voluntary departure, whether he explained what it was, whether... And because Jared testified in this case, he didn't understand.
There was an exchange.
Do you know whether this exists, this tape recording? Is there?
I don't know if the tape recording still exists. It was an early 1990s hearing, so I don't know if the exchange exists. But looking at petitioner's brief to the board and even the petitioner's brief to this court, it's not apparent that that was assigned as an error to the board or to this court, that there wasn't an understanding of the import of a failure to voluntarily depart. There's an exchange between the immigration judge and the alien in terms of, or the immigration judge and the alien's attorney about whether he understood voluntary departure, and the immigration judge responds, he did because I was there. The alien's attorney says, okay, and moves on with the rest of the proceedings.
Well, I don't know what he was supposed to say. He wanted to ask his client, did the client understand what he was told? And the judge interrupts him. In effect, he excluded the question, banned the question on the basis of his own recollection. I don't know what the lawyer is supposed to do at that point. You don't have to take exceptions if a judge refused to permit it. But how could the judge testify as to Jared's understanding? How does he know what Jared understood? Maybe he did, because maybe he asked Jared, do you understand? And Jared said yes. That's possible. But how do we know that that's what happened?
My recollection of it was this was the same immigration judge who
granted
voluntary departure.
But I know. But, well, apart from the sort of unreality of thinking, I actually remembered this fellow from 11 years ago, how would he know what Jared understood unless he had asked Jared at the time, do you understand? You know, as I say, the model is these plea colloquies in criminal cases. If he asked him and Jared said yes, that would be fine. That would be the end of it as far as I'm concerned. But we don't know whether that happened, do we?
No, we don't know that happened, and it's impossible to speculate as about.
A terrible hole?
I don't perceive it as a hole because there was no appeal of that decision to the Board of Immigration Appeals. Plus, it wasn't assigned as an heir to the Board of Immigration Appeals this court.
There was no reason for him to appeal if he didn't know what voluntary departure was.
Well, he could have appealed that line of questioning and his cutting off of the question to his client in his appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals, and that's why we have the statutory exhaustion of the administrative remedies bar.
I take it you mean in his appeal this time?
In his appeal this time, through this latest decision. There is, from my recollection of the brief to the board as well as to the brief to this court, there's no assignment of error with respect to the understanding of the import of the failure to voluntarily depart in this case. The understanding of voluntary departure was there, and the immigration judge said, he knows because I was there. The attorney back during this round, could have said, you know, Your Honor, I'd like to follow up that questioning further. I need to examine and make my record so that one day when we're before this court in 2006, we can examine that issue.
There's no requirement of taking an exception to a judge's evidentiary ruling. And what the judge did was the equivalent of saying, if there had been a lawyer there, you know, who would object. Sometimes judges jump the gun and they make evidentiary rulings without an objection having been made. But in either case, whether they do it, you know, on an objection or on their own, there isn't a requirement of the lawyer to keep arguing with the judge.
But I would suggest to you that a competent lawyer or a good attorney would have made the record before the immigration judge.
Lawyers aren't that great. So it's not a waiver or forfeiture.
Your argument, I take it, is not that there was any forfeiture before the immigration judge, but that the issue was forfeited by not being raised before the Board of Immigration Appeals.
Correct, Your Honor. There's that statutory duty.
At least I understand what's going on here.
Yeah, there's that statutory duty to exhaust your administrative remedies, and that, on this round of appellate proceedings, there was not that assignment of error that there was a failure to understand the import of the failure to voluntarily depart to the Board of Immigration Appeals to preserve that question today before this court. That simply isn't an issue here. There's no issue here before the court to resolve as to the import of the failure to voluntarily depart. If there was, the alien could have preserved that issue before the Board of Immigration Appeals and said, my line of questioning was cut off. This immigration judge abused the evidentiary finding by cutting my client's answer about that, and I need to make a record about that because that was the sole issue or one of the issues that the immigration judge looked at to make that discretionary determination. If it was such an import to raise that issue, that hole in the case, he had a statutory duty under 8 U.S.C. 1252 D1 to raise that to the Board of Immigration Appeals so this court could resolve that issue.
On this round, you're saying?
On this ground.
This round.
Discretionary determination is certainly preserved because that was argued to the board. But with respect to the question of whether he understood voluntary departure or the failure to voluntary depart, that's not part of the record here. It wasn't preserved to the Board of Immigration Appeals in this round of proceedings.
Have you argued this in your brief?
Well, no, it wasn't raised in their brief, so of course the government didn't raise it in our answering brief.
Wasn't raised in their brief?
The question with respect to the line of questioning being cut off, I don't recall that being raised in their opening brief or, as I mentioned, in their brief to the board.
No, if you look at page 20 of their brief. No. Look at page 20 of their brief.
I'm at page 20, Your Honor.
Yeah. So on page 19, there's this, you know, quotations from that earlier, I mean, quotation of the record where he says he understood the order because I explained it to him. I can answer that question. It's the judge testifying, and then he goes on page 21 to complain about that. And I didn't understand you to say that this had been forfeited.
Well, it's not raised in the sense that there was a failure to understand the import of voluntary departure. It's raised as a question as whether the immigration judge exercised discretion, not as a specific error.
Yes, but look, one of the factors that bears on the immigration judge's exercise of discretion is whether Jared had flouted the voluntary departure order, right?
Correct.
Suppose it's the case that Jared didn't voluntarily depart because he never understood what he was required to do. That would certainly affect the judge's exercise of discretion in this case, right?
I would agree with you if that was
right.
Preserved.
And that's the appeal here is that there's abuse of discretion by the immigration judge, or his exercise of discretion is flawed because based on factual or legal error, what have you. And one element of that is the argument that it was irresponsible for the immigration judge to testify that Jared had understood the voluntary departure order, because that's not how we do it. We don't have judges testify about what happened 11 years earlier, right? So this is certainly preserved here, and you haven't argued that it was somehow forfeited at the board level.
Well, we would submit to the court that it was forfeited at the board level, and this is...
You certainly didn't argue it in your brief.
Well, this is oriented towards the exercise of discretion, Your Honor.
Look, he's complaining to the board. He complained to the board that this exercise of discretion by the immigration judge was flawed. And then there are many reasons why he thinks it's flawed, some bad, some good. One of them is that the way in which the judge handled this issue of what his understanding had been back in 1991. And you haven't ever argued, you shouldn't even argue in your brief that that had been forfeited, and I don't see what basis there is for that.
Well, Your Honor, we responded to the argument about the exercise of discretion.
Do you think it is responsible for an immigration judge who's challenged about the understanding of a plea colloquy or that's equivalent here, to just cut off the testimony by the individual and say, well, he understood it because I explained it to him?
This, again, was the immigration judge in which the order was flouted before.
Look, it's 11 years early. He must have had thousands. He must have decided literally thousands of cases. How could he have a clear recollection of what he said to this fellow in the absence of any kind of tape or anything?
There was a joint motion that was, of course, presented to the immigration judge for his consideration, and that's where the notice, or excuse me, the information that this order had been flouted. So he had that joint motion before him, and we can speculate, but the immigration judge might have had that good of recollection, certainly with respect to orders that had been flouted before him, Your Honor. I see my time is up, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. May.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Resnick, do you have anything further?
First, Judge, on the point you asked concerning was there any evidence in the record concerning his ability to speak English, at the hearing in 2004, Appendix 41, he was asked by his attorney, okay, at the time, did you speak English? And the answer was no. Then the next question was, did you understand the order? And that's when the immigration judge interrupted. So that's on Appendix 41. With regard to the brief to the BIA, we did raise in the record at 18 this whole conversation at the hearing, and we also sought remand because of the behavior of the immigration judge over a number of aspects of his behavior that was cited in the statement of facts.
Mm-hmm.
The original hearing, to go back to it, in 1991 was just, I think, a few months after my client had entered the United States. So we also pointed in the record to the difficulty he had speaking at the later hearing in 2004 as evidence that he must have had difficulty speaking in 1991. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case for argument, United States.